My name is Garland Robinson. Do you know your sin will find you out? There are a lot of people that live as though sin is non-existent, or that if it is, they can hide it, they can get around it. But it's so foolish to think about sin that way and escaping the penalty of it. Proverbs 14:9 said, "Fools make a mock at sin." In the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." That just simply means we will harvest what we sow. That's true in the physical realm, it's true in the spiritual realm. Again, in the Old Testament, in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, we read, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." So the Bible tells us very clearly, very plainly, that our sin will be discovered. Our sin will be brought up against us one day, and we'll have to give an account for it. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, we read, "Ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." The fear of punishment serves as a deterrent to sin. Sin originates with me. I can't blame someone else for it. They certainly can contribute to it. They may encourage or influence me wrongly. But the bottom line is, sin originates with me, with you. In James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted," now notice what he says, "when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." But friend, everyone sins when he yields to his own temptation. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." I'm not responsible for other people. I'm responsible for me. Galatians 5 and verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So we're living a battle. We're fighting a war in our own selves. On the one hand, wanting to do wickedly. On the other, seeking to do righteously, and we're battling between the two. And if we do wickedly, if we do wrong, if we sin, it will be made clear again one day. The consequences of sin may or may not find us in this life, but still we need to remember that there's no statute of limitation on sin. If we were to sin today and no one learns of it, no one knows anything about it, and 20 years pass, 30 or 40 years pass, does that mean I'm no longer guilty? No, it doesn't. There's no statute or limitation on sin. Sin is ugly. Sin is wicked. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But ye are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Romans 6:23 says that sin brings recompense. "For the wages of sin is death." There's a reward. There's a payment. It's a wage. And when we sin, we can expect payment for it. The Bible makes no distinction at all between little sins and big sins. All sin is bad. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, we read about those who are fearful and unbelieving. And then we read of the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, how they'll have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So what we think of a little sin of simply unbelieving is placed in the same category of murderers and sodomites, homosexuals, sorcerers and idolaters, and even those who tell lies. There are many reasons why people think that their sin is no big deal, that they can sin and get away with it. Their sin will never find them out. Some believe that because God has not yet called them into account, that perhaps they sinned days, weeks, months, or years ago, and nothing has happened. They tend to think that since God hadn't found me now, and I can go on as I am, well, why can't I always continue that? Well, what we fail to recognize is that God does not count time like man does. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, we read, "Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Time is irrelevant with God. It means nothing to Him. But it means a lot to us. And so we think we may have gotten away with something. That's not so. God's not going to forget. Then somebody says, "Well, I'll just sin this just one time." And then they think, "I'll be done with it, and surely God would not hold me accountable just for this one time." Well, some tend to think that God has forgotten. They think, well, since I forgot about it, that God will forget about it. But friend, God is not a man that He'll forget, because He will not forget. Then sometimes people think that God don't even care. God's not watching. God's not keeping up with their every little minute detail of my life. And so I can do this, and it's just a little thing. God won't care. Then there are others who believe that God's too good. Oh, God wouldn't punish me. He wouldn't consign me to hell just for this little thing that I've done. God's too good. God's too loving and kind. But friend, God is loving and God's kind and He's good. But His goodness demands justice. It demands punishment made for the crimes committed. And then there are those that think, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to do better. I'm going to repent one day. But friend, your sin will find you out. The Bible is filled with examples of individuals whose sin found them out. In Adam and Eve, they ate of the forbidden fruit. They even hid themselves in the garden. But their sin could not be hidden from God. He knew exactly what they had done and when they had did it and the attitude about it. And we can read of so many examples of that throughout the Bible. There are those who have committed great sins and tried to hide it, but God knew every one. There are examples just like that today. The newspapers filled with stories of individuals who perhaps for a long time have been guilty of a crime and never been found out about it. But yet, sooner or later, it'll come to bear. God knows all. But think about this. Even if we escape punishment in this life, even if we sin, perhaps commit a crime, and it never catches up with us, and nobody knows about it, and we end up becoming an old person and one day die, God still knows about it. It will be brought up in judgment. Some seem to think they go through life without ever bearing the consequences of sin. We read about such a thing in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24, where we read, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." That is, we often get caught for things that we do, but sometimes we don't. But whether we get caught in this world or we don't, God still knows, and they will follow us even into judgment. Oh, how surprised there are going to be multitudes of people that when they die, that there really is a God, His Word really was true, and that sin was really as serious as He says that it was, and that they're going to have to give an account for how they've lived. The sinner's sins will follow them all the way into judgment. Those who die outside of Christ, their sins will find them out. Hebrews 9:27, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, friend, there was a time that God overlooked or winked at sin, but no more. Acts 17, verse 30 says, "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, who died and was raised from the dead." Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Our sin will find us out. God has warned us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, we're told, "Cast in the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In the judgment scene, those who are standing on the left side, consigned there because of their sin, we read they'll go away into everlasting punishment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Those who do not obey the Lord, those who do not do His will, they will be consigned out into the eternal place of punishment. Friend, there's only one way that you can make sure your sin is not brought up against you in the judgment day. And that is simply to obey the gospel. If you die outside of Christ, your sin will be brought up against you. If you die in the Lord, a faithful servant of Jesus, your sin will not be brought up against you. In order to be in the Lord, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He died for you and rose again from the dead for you. You must repent of your sins. Turn around, turn from them, and never commit them again. You must confess faith in Jesus that He is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and then be baptized into water for the forgiveness of your sins. And then live faithful according to His Word all the days of your life. Without that, your sin will find you out. But if you obey the gospel and live a faithful life, your sin will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb and it'll be gone forever. Isn't that what you want in this world? That's what you want now, and that's what you want in the world to come. Why not obey the gospel?